I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you miss anything, you go to the podcast on the iHeart app. It's called John and Ken on Demand, and catch up with whatever got by you the first time. And
yeah.
Join the swarms and the hordes that are showing up in record-breaking numbers to listen to our podcast every day.
That's true. I mean, you might want to take a break and watch the Kelly Clarkson show or Drew Barrymore's TV show. You know, we understand. Which occur when we're on.
You know, there's
at an ad just popped up on a story I have on the screen here.
There's a lot of
the Kelly Clarkson show. She's got her hands on her hips. Weekdays, 3 p.m.
Yeah. I'm sure it's fascinating. Never get a chance, though.
Whiplash is the word I'd use. I've been following with some degree of humor. The El Segundo Times is back and forth on, you know, what's going to get us in terms of the weather. Obviously, it was the drought for a long time, and then it was so much rain. And now they've turned it into, well, a lot of snow and possible flooding. So they were doing stories the last couple of days about this big threat of flooding, right? And they got a little boost with a forecast of some warm weather coming, particularly to the Central Valley area. It's going to get in the 90s and 100s. But they've tempered it this afternoon because it's only going to be a couple of days, and then we go right back into the chill. So there you go.
But
next week is looking back cool again.
They did run a headline on the front of their website, The Big Melt.
Yes, that's what got my attention.
And
I think even Newsom made some sort of a trip to take a look and the snowfall and the water.
Well, they have him standing. Did you see the photo?
I did, yes.
Yes, he's in a button-down shirt and jeans. You know, he's in his action man mode. You know how
that's right.
How he
that's half.
Up.
That's half. I'm ready to go, and half I'm still a businessman.
With,
right,
with all the goo in his hair, slicked back, sunglasses on, looking very dramatic, hands on hips, and he's staring down this lake, which is expected to swell and flood the surrounding area in the Central Valley where the farms are. Right, and he's looking just mean and fierce. It's like, I'm gonna stop you. You're not going to flood my state. Mr. Outdoorsman, remember? Like when he would run around showing how to clean up the garbage from a homeless encampment, how to scrub the graffiti off a wall. Well, here he is, man of action. He's going to hold back the lake with his bare hands.
Well, to me, that's better than him traveling to Mississippi and Florida to scold governors in other states.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather them at least have them here with something that's going on in the state of California domestically, even if it's exaggerated threat.
It's so fruitless, though. He's not going to stop the water from flooding.
No, I know. But it does have that kind of look like, yeah, I'm here to stare you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was also what caught my attention was that there's apparently, I haven't heard this in a while either, like a fire burning in the Inland Empire today in Lytle Creek.
The Knob Fire.
Oh, is it slobber?
That's what it's called. the knob fire.
What is our... Why are we like little boys when we hear that word?
Somebody's knob went ablaze.
It's a great word, knob. You knob.
You knobhead.
It's a good word to just call somebody a knobhead, because that's all they are, is like a door handle. That's all there is on their shoulders. It's a tiny door handle.
It's just a knob growing off their necks.
And you want to twist that knob. Turn that knob. Yeah, and that's something... Have you heard that in a while either? I realize it's not always the case in the winter, but... Fire coverage, but it kind of disappeared.
No, it was a light year last year, but that's
but everything they warn about that's here forever and year round. So not exactly true, is it?
We didn't have a big fire year. We had a very wet winter. We had a very cold winter, and suddenly all the climate change hysteria. I don't hear anything. What happened?
I did see one for you. I think it was NBC News. They're pretty far out there, too, the NBC News.
Yeah.
It was about allergies. And some people are getting allergies for the first time. And then it said, thank you, climate change. It did. There's these doctors that are saying that I've got patients coming in. They've never had allergies before. They're like, what is this? What's happened to me? And he diagnoses them and says, you have common allergies from all the floral and fauna and everything else that's out there.
Which, of course, was all dead last year.
Right. Climate change was making us completely rain water free. And now it's doing this too. Too much water, and now we have too many allergies.
This wasn't even close to the wettest year we've ever had. But it was in the top 10.
And so they've reshuffled the numbers again to compare the obsession over the snowpack numbers and everything else. It's like, all right.
So look, it was a
pretty big rain year.
And a snow year. And it was cold. And that's part of the endless California cycle of weather. Always has gone on this way since we've settled here. As far as recorded history, it's always gone on this way. And we don't know what went on before we settled here. We don't. Right. So, It's just part of the part of life.
And we have a chance of rain, by the way, next week, Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
All 3 days?
It's mainly Tuesday, but it could linger through Thursday.
How much rain?
Well, it's a slight chance. Yeah, PM shower. I'm looking at Burbank, actually. 31% PM showers Wednesday, Burbank. The other days, 24% and 24% Thursday and Tuesday, so... It's in there, but it looks kind of mild.
There'll probably be some passing showers.
But Burbank's going to hit 91 on Saturday, John. Watch out for flooding.
91?
We don't work on Saturday in Burbank. But
the big melt is coming.
Then right down to 68 Monday. That's it. It's going to be a couple of warm days on the weekend.
The hell of a cold front there.
We're right back into the... Matter of fact, the high next week in Burbank on Wednesday is only 60. A week from today.
Really?
Only 60-degree high predicted. Yeah. Of course, what do we say on the show over and over again? You can't trust the weather forecast more than one day or even 5 hours ahead. So what am I doing?
Right.
Wait, you started it, Deborah Mark.
Well, now I've got to put the sandals away and get the boots back. Oh, so frustrating.
Yeah, she's one of these likes to react to every possible. I want to be prepared.
Fashion depends on...
I got to get my black purse back now because the pink one is not going to really do well in 60-degree rainy weather.
Oh, so you have purses that match it's cooler or warmer and sunnier and cloudier?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I do.
Did you know that, John, that her purse is...
Well, I see her every day. So during warm weather like the past week, it's been a lot of bright yellows, pinks, and oranges.
That's right. Now I got to go back to black next week.
How many purses do you have?
I don't really have that many. I have about 10.
Well, that covers the weather rainbow.
It's not a lot.
Well, that's 10 more than Ken and I have combined.
Okay, well.
John just has one. It's gray.
Well, there are man purses.
Yeah. Can you imagine me walking around with a man purse?
No, I can't imagine you doing that.
You know what's funny? When those things started being called man purses, some guys kept carrying them around anyway. And it's like, do you have any dignity? Do you have...
That fad didn't last long.
No, it was for nullos.
Remember, one of our program directors did carry that little satchel We just laughed about that behind his back.
Is that right? Remember that.
Yeah, I can't tell you who it is.
Oh, okay.
I think some men look nice with it. Just depends on the guy and the way they dress. I wouldn't say it's a purse.
Well, you attach it around your waist, and it's like a little
side belt bag. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what guys did for a while.
There's just a little handle.
There's
a typical purse.
There's always these fashion waves that try to feminize men. It's like a relentless wave. Don't dress like a guy.
Well, where do you keep your keys and your wallet?
Pockets.
And
it's
your
pocket.
Purell. And, you know,
everything's in the pocket. Wow. We don't carry as much as you, though.
Okay. I only have three things. I only have three things to carry. It's a phone, wallet, keys. There's nothing else.
Oh, yeah, and your badge to get in, which you lose all the time. So maybe if you had a little satchel.
Because you know why?
But he carries a big bag with him there.
But you don't want to see what's in there.
No, I'm sure it's disgusting, but you do have that. It's all crumpled up papers from 5 weeks ago.
It's not actually anything useful in there.
Why'd you kill somebody and there's a head in there or something? Somebody pissed you off?
Wow, that's a good idea.
Well, yeah, really, now that you mention it.
All right, when we return, money is out there. A chance for $1,000 continues with KFI's Inflation Compensation Contest. And then we'll bring you the bad news from Sacramento about doing something. Anything. This is what they say, John, about the gun laws, right? Mm. Do anything about the fentanyl problem, right? Well, one big chance really has finally passed by. We'll explain. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, it was back in 2019 when a young woman by the name of Alexandra Capoludo died of fentanyl poisoning. She was a college student at the time. She was home on break. She ordered some pills online thinking that they were just opioids. Instead, they were laced with fentanyl, and she died. Her father, Matt, made it his mission to do something. And eventually what was drafted became known as Alexandra's Law. It was going to formally warn convicted fentanyl dealers that if they deal again and someone dies, they could face homicide charges. We're here to tell you it's over for this session of the legislature. It has been blocked. It's going nowhere. Here is a TV news report from KRCA NBC Bay Area reporter Ashley Zavala.
For the parents of children and teens who have died of fentanyl, it was an emotional and a disappointing day, especially for those who traveled all the way to Sacramento from across the state just to advocate for this bill. Now, the Senate Public Safety Committee refused to move forward with SB 44, also known as Alexandra's Law. Under this bill, judges would be specifically required to let fentanyl dealers know at the time of their conviction that if they deal again and someone dies as a result of those drugs, they could face harsher consequences.
Hold the drug dealers on social media accountable.
Thank you. Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
You
are not. You're giving every excuse for drug dealers. All you do is fight.
Parents interrupted lawmaker discussion, then abruptly stormed out of the hearing as one senator was explaining her concerns with the bill. Lawmakers who would not vote for it said the bill is missing specific language that would trigger the warning when the dealer knows or should have known fentanyl was in the drugs.
The concern is that there is no real evidence that this would, in fact, limit overdose deaths.
Oh, good Lord.
And I know that is not some. If anyone very close to me or in my direct family died from a fentanyl overdose death, I can appreciate not wanting to hear that.
What? Alexandra's Law is named after Matt Capoludo's daughter, who died of fentanyl poisoning. He was devastated.
I'm just sorry, because more people are going to die. And it might not be the politically correct thing to say, but there's no doubt about it. These senators have blood on their hands.
Democratic State Senator Tom Umberg, who wrote the bill, vows to continue working on this issue.
There are too many people dying for us to put this to rest. We can't very well say, you know what? We're going to put our head in the sand, and we're going to pretend that fentanyl is not an epidemic. We're going to pretend that fentanyl is not killing unprecedented number of folks. We can't do that. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep doing whatever I can to deal with this crisis.
Now, on Thursday in the Assembly, the Public Safety Committee there is holding a special hearing to hear six fentanyl-related bills. California Republicans have sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom urging his support for these measures, which are mostly written by Democrats.
All right, that's from NBC Bay Area reporter Ashley Zavala, KRCA. Well, you know, we talked about this a lot, and that voice in the middle there, Tom Umberg, is a Democrat. In fact, they have 21 state senators supporting this bill. That is more than a majority, but they can't get it out of committee. Because, so they're looking for other ways around this.
Because I'm telling you, I think this is a setup. They know much of the public wants this done, and so they created this misdirection play. They have all these senators lined up saying, hey, we support this, but can't get out of the committee. Well, these same Democrats assigned these five state senators to the committee to block this legislation. Remove them from the committee. You can't
say... Yeah, they wouldn't have known when they got these assignments that this bill was coming along. Well, bill's been around
a while. But they would know that the Democrats on this public safety committee blocks every bill.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to say is that they put people on there specifically right. Who they know will make sure nothing adds prison time or new prison sentences.
Right.
That's really what the idea and the goal is of the Democrat-controlled public safety committee. Nobody goes to jail fresh and nobody goes to prison longer.
Okay, but all the Democrats in the Senate know this. They know this. So they know they can safely
say... So you say Umberg's a fake then?
Yes, Umberg's a fake.
So he drafts a bipartisan bill knowing it'll get stuffed by the Public Safety Committee because that's by design.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Him and all... Because why don't they change the members of the Public Safety Committee? The Public Safety Committee has blocked every bill that would toughen any criminal penalty for anything. Umberg knows this. He's been in the legislature off and on since the 1990s. He knows this. He knows this bill was going to hit a brick wall. Every Democrat that supports this bill, in theory, knows that it was never going to get out of the Public Safety Committee. It's part of the scam. You've got five Democrats on the committee who are never, ever, ever going to let any bill go through. They never have. They never will. And everybody in Sacramento knows this. This is theater. And I feel really sorry for Matt Capilano because he doesn't know this. He lost his child. He's very sincere. And he believed there. But you're next. Scott Wiener's.
He came in very naively thinking that maybe I can make a real difference, but not knowing what he's up against with this crowd.
Todd Umberg is a skunk. We've dealt with him years ago when he was pulling these same scams. He is really good at publicly supporting something which makes him look like he's in sync with the people.
The public, yeah.
But he also knows that it's rigged so the most left-wing progressive jackholes populate the Public Safety Committee. He knows this. And you can't get anything passed that would extend anyone's sentence by a single day. You will not. It doesn't matter what the crime is. It doesn't matter what. Like, this whole fentanyl thing is new, right? 10 years ago, you never heard of the word fentanyl. This is new. So we need a new law to handle fentanyl murderers, which is what they are. But that weasel Scott Wiener out of San Francisco, he's a state senator. He's against every one of this. And he's a weird freak. Okay, he's a creepy freak. And their excuses are nonsense. They're gibberish. They're gobbledygook. They're BS. Absolute cow manure. And everybody knows it. But God, I hate how everybody play acts. It's all theater. Even the news media coverage is theater. Everyone knows that the script was written. All those Democrats that support this publicly knew it was never going to pass. Umberg on top of the list, and he's pulled this scam before. Tom Umberg has been shown for 30 years to be one of the most dishonest legislators in Sacramento's history. We got clips going back decades with him on the air where we smoked him out. This is his game, and he's getting a lot of sympathetic media coverage.
Tomorrow in the state assembly, they've agreed to a special hearing for some other fentanyl bills, but let me just give you an example. One of them is from a Democrat, AB 33, to create a fentanyl addiction overdose prevention task force. I mean, seriously,
that's the garbage. We're hearing that
these are nothing bills.
They're garbage. They're garbage.
But they might pass a couple of them to try to fool the public into thinking, you see, we did something about fentanyl.
Fentanyl killed 5,722 people in California in 2021. Many of whom thought they were taking prescription medications or other drugs. Fentanyl is 100 times stronger than morphine, 50 times stronger than heroin. They're selling it on the street through TikTok, through Instagram, through Snapchat to your kids. And the kids think they're getting Adderall or Percocet. And they're getting fentanyl and they die. And Umberg knows this, and Scott Wiener knows this, and they don't care if your kids die. There's no other way to put it. The kids are dying, they don't care. In fact, over 5,000 people died, and they don't care. And every single effing Democrat in Sacramento knows that the bill was never going to pass. They are such frauds. They are such fakes. They're dangerous.
They actually slightly approved a bill which would make it a felony to possess fentanyl if you with a loaded operable firearm. Kind of weird, huh?
Yeah. No,
it was a Democrat bill.
The Democrats
throw a gun in there and now fentanyl's that much more dangerous. It doesn't make any sense.
Nancy Skinner, did you hear her prattling on? They purposely...
She made no sense.
No, because she's an idiot. They purposely pick the five Democrats who are the most insanely against prosecuting criminals. They stack the public safety committee with those five Democrats, and then everybody goes, I don't know, we all support this. No, you don't. You liars. You should rot in hell.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, if you missed anything, you listen to the podcast on the iHeart app. John and Ken on demand. Record numbers of people now listening on the podcast. So if
you'll be a lot about cars today and traffic. Next hour, let's hear it for Culver City. The city council decided to remove protected bike lanes for cars.
Thank God.
This just doesn't happen. It was a 3-2 vote that took until 2 a.m.
Imagine
but it happened. Talked to Councilman Dan O'Brien after 2 o'clock about that development, which is really upsetting the Culver City bike people.
Oh, honestly, why don't you people grow into men? All right? Riding around on your little bikies. Jesus.
Wow. It's unclear at this time when the lanes will be removed, but that is the vote. So we'll find out more.
Those bike people, do they ever reach puberty or are they just kind of stuck at being 11 years old?
They don't live in the real world is absolutely correct. I'll put it that way.
I see these guys cycling by me. It's like, wow, never made it to being a full-grown man, huh? Sorry about that.
It's like some guys I see, they're just perpetual surfers. They're just always at the beach.
Must have taken those puberty blockers.
We were just talking about bills in Sacramento to do anything about fentanyl and fentanyl dealers dying a horrible death. Now we'll turn around and tell you what they might focus on instead. You see, it doesn't seem to bother them that young people are dying from fentanyl, even though they're not requesting fentanyl. They're asking for some sort of a painkiller, an opioid, and it ends up being a pill laced with fentanyl, and they die of an overdose. It doesn't seem to matter to legislators in Sacramento, particularly Democrats in the Public Safety Committee. But what might matter is, of course, and that brings us sort of to what we're going to talk about next hour, people dying in traffic deaths. Guess what's back? Speed cameras. There's a renewed effort in Sacramento put forward by Assemblymember Laura Friedman, a Democrat from Glendale. Ooh, not that far away, John.
I remember her. She's pushed this before.
She has. She's not giving up.
I remember her. She's bad news.
Assembly Bill 645, speed camera pilot programs in school zones and on high injury streets or thoroughfares with, quote, speeding problems in L.A., Long Beach, Glendale, Oakland, and San Francisco is what's in the bill.
What are people in Glendale voting for? So we're going to have more of a Big Brother tracking us as we're driving, tracking our speed? We're just sitting there minding our own business, and we have the government tracking us, and violation. Well, you're going to have to send us several hundred dollars now. Oh, well, that's very convenient, isn't it?
Now, she acknowledged that existing red light cameras spit out costly $500 fines.
Yes.
Generating complaints that they are unfair and a burden on drivers and a cash cow for cities.
That's what this will be. That's what it'll be. That's the purpose of this. They don't let's be clear. If they cared about people dying, they would pass the bills so we can put the fentanyl dealers in prison. They don't care about people dying.
They're claiming
what they want to do is make money with the speed cameras.
Well, they're claiming the speed camera fine would be much lower than that, although I don't have the amount in the story.
What?
And the money would go into the city's general fund to build safer streets.
Adding
speed bumps and, the traffic calming. Traffic calming infrastructure.
Don't get me started.
Isn't that a tricky three words?
I've got so many things in my head. First of all, it'll start low and 6 months later it'll be really high because they lie. Just assume everything they say is a lie, all right?
Yes.
If you start there, you're going to live a much better life. Of course, she's lying. It's not going to be low. And the cities are going to get the money, and they're going to do whatever they want with it. Because
it gets even better.
It's their money.
The story gets even better. This being 2023, something else is in the bill. It's more equitable, free of human bias. So therefore, Black and Latino drivers won't get a disproportionate amount of tickets handed out by police. Instead, it'll just be a speed camera measuring your car speed and issuing you a ticket unbiased. I just thought that was a great new The inference is that everybody out there issuing tickets, police officers, are all racist. And we'll get rid of that by putting a machine in charge.
That's their all-purpose justification for every stupid, greedy, idiotic idea. No, the police aren't around for 99% of the speeding. Police are around if you do something egregious on a freeway or a main boulevard, all right? You have to be really going way too fast, and by chance you cross an intersection where a cop is sitting there. But there isn't much police around because they're not allowed to do anything, right? So the police aren't around very much. School zones are not where tickets happen. Residential zones are not where tickets happen. This is nothing but a money-generating machine. And it's for them to hire more workers, have a greater fiefdom, get bigger salaries, more healthcare benefits, more pension benefits. That's what this all is about. They want more money for themselves. And you fall for this, equity. No. Those are if people would understand that almost everything that comes out of the mouths of these politicians and these bureaucrats is about distraction, misdirection. They're like magicians. Hey, look over here. If you look to the left, you don't see what he's pulling with his right hand. That's what it is. So equity and safety, those are the distraction words. What he's pulling out with his right hand is your wallet out of your back pocket.
Opposing the bill, interestingly enough, is the ACLU. They don't like the privacy violations.
Wow.
The Western State Trucking Association doesn't like it because they probably don't want the truckers getting tickets. And the Peace Officers Research Association thinking that this would replace actual police officers giving tickets. So the machine would replace, the old automation argument. So Yeah, well, it's supposed to go. We have to see it. It was in a committee hearing yesterday. I don't know whether it got out of there.
This is such nonsense. How many speeding tickets have you had in the last 10 years?
Me? None. Me too.
None. I speed all the time. I speed every day on
every road.
Oh,
I think you're right. I have noticed a real lack of enforcement in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. So I speed every day all the time. There are no police riding tickets in any great numbers. If it maybe occasionally on a freeway on a Sunday morning when people like to go 110 miles an hour, they have a speed trap waiting. I've seen more cars pulled over on an empty Sunday morning.
But now you're making the argument that we should have the speed cameras because they're claiming that people are dying because people are driving too fast and
lying.
The cops are just not enough of them to give tickets.
People are not dying. I've never seen a person get run over.
Doesn't mean people are not dying because you haven't seen it. They claim traffic fatalities have doubled in the last 10 years in L.A.
Because there's homeless people stumbling around in the streets. That's why. that's the beginning and end of it. It's homeless people stumbling around in the streets. That's the big change. 10 years ago, we hardly had any homeless people in the streets. Now we have literally tens of thousands of them. So, of course, they're getting run over. They're whacked out on meth. They're whacked out on fentanyl. They're whacked out on booze. They have schizophrenia and bipolar. They're running around waving axes and their arms in the air. Yeah, so they're gonna get run over. The times I've come closest to running people over, the times I've come closest, almost every one of them was a homeless person because they stumble unexpectedly off the curb or they dart out from somewhere or they're walking and they suddenly stop dead in the crosswalk.
I don't have a number. It says 309 died in traffic deaths, most of them pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Were they all homeless people? This is last year's number.
Probably vast majority, yeah.
You think
they're drunk? Yeah,
I don't know.
I've read a statistic that 50% of pedestrians who get run over, either they're drunk or the driver's drunk. This is 2 in the morning stuff. This is 2 a.m. stuff.
We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to a city council member from Culver City. And they voted last night 3-2 to cut back on a bike lane, turn it back over to the cars. Big, strange news. Doesn't happen very often. We'll talk about it coming up after 2 o'clock. The Moist Line is returning day after tomorrow. You can reach the Moist Line using the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is a way that people connect to the Moist Line by leaving a message directly through the app. Or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. One of the big stories that captured a lot of local TV news coverage last night is the man that climbed the TV station tower in Hollywood, KTLA's tower, Channel 5. This is at the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Bronson Avenue near Van Ness. He was dangling a cloth sign with an electric guitar slung over his chest. The part that most people are able to see from the front were the words, "Free Billie Eilish." Okay, so you roll your eyes. What is that?
Is she in jail?
The other side is where it gets interesting. MK Ultra Sex Slaves Donald Marshall Clones. Puzzled?
Never heard of it.
Apparently, this could be linked to a dark web conspiracy theory about the Illuminati and celebrity cloning. Whoa-ho!
I forgot. What's the Illuminati again?
Those are people controlling... Secret society.
Secrets, you know.
Yeah, this goes back a long time, the Illuminati.
Who's in the secret society?
All the celebrities.
Well, they...
Oh.
I think it has its roots deeper than that. Let me just see here.
I think it's an old conspiracy theory. That goes back...
Yeah, it was...
Doesn't it go back to, like, the Masons and stuff?
Yeah. Here it is. It was a secret society founded in 1776 in Bavaria, part of Germany. The society the goals were to oppose superstition, religious influence over public life, and abuses of state power. Many influential intellectuals and progressive politicians counted themselves as members.
Oh.
This is the 1700s. I don't know who belongs today.
Yeah, I knew it was a long time ago.
So he's wearing a sign referencing something that started in the 1770s. Let me see. Modern Illuminati.
I was just looking this up. Tom Hanks was in these movies playing Professor Robert Langdon. They were based on books. The Da Vinci Code. Remember that? Angels and Demons. And there was stuff in there about the Illuminati.
Many conspiracy theories.
A resurgence of an ancient brotherhood known as the Illuminati. That's what he was investigating.
Many conspiracy theories propose that world events are being controlled and manipulated by a secret society calling itself the Illuminati.
So it's not the UN anymore. It's the Illuminati?
Yeah. Conspiracy theorists have claimed that many notable people were or are members of the Illuminati. Presidents of the United States are a common target for such claims. The Illuminati orchestrated the French Revolution, the Battle of Waterloo, and the assassination of John Kennedy. And there's a part of an alleged plot to hasten the New World Order. They've infiltrated the Hollywood film industry. Oh, I didn't know that. Is that true?
That's what, well, in this case, it would be a performance artist, Billie Eilish. He's claiming, and I don't know who Donald Marshall is, but he may be responsible for cloning celebrities, right?
Right.
And maybe this Billie Eilish we're seeing is not the real Billie Eilish. It's some sort of Illuminati clone.
How high did he climb up?
I have that here. It took 3 hours to get him down. It didn't look that high if you were looking at the shot from TV.
The tower is 162 feet.
Yeah. I don't know.
And what's with the sex slaves? And who's Donald Marshall?
I don't know. I Googled that too, and I didn't get much on that particular name connected to all this. It's from the dark web, John.
I haven't been to the dark web. We should go take a trip there one day.
We could take a trip.
Probably have the FBI banging on.
Yeah, I was going to say they're probably following everybody on the dark web.
I think that's where.
162-foot structure, right? But I don't know how high up he got. Yeah. He perched himself on a digital billboard on the lower section of the tower.
So that wasn't that much of a climb.
So he didn't get
holding his sign.
But apparently, it stopped traffic. It created quite a scene until he came down. 3 hours he was up there. 9:30. He didn't come down until 9:30. It started at 6:30.
All right. What kind of drug you think he was on?
I don't know. He's sort of a young Latino-looking man. I don't have his name.
I think meth, because meth gives you these surges of strength.
Yeah.
It gives you like some really unusual physical energy.
And you think it convinced him that he had to take a message to the world about
plus
this?
Plus, you get hallucinations from it, delusions.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, our guest will be a city council member with Culver City, Dan O'Brien. And by a vote of 3-2, their city council voted to eliminate designated bike and bus lanes in favor of more car lanes to improve, dear God, could it be traffic flow? Of course, the Culver City bike people showed up in force. But you'll hear Dan O'Brien explain that many people who live in Culver City and have to drive to get places were irritated by this.
But they were given some warm milk and a banana and they calmed down.
Is that right?
Yes. So you give to toddlers when they have a fit.
And some more spandex.
Right. Yeah. Spandex boys. Yes.
It's coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark Lott in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.